air attack warning sounds like. This is the sound.
Make no bones about it, but the consultation around Duke Street Hill and Tooley Street was pertinent because this was the taxi trade being consulted against. TfL must be under pressure to roll this system out across the whole of London, and that was evidence, wasn't it, in their consultation. It revolved around one question, one singular question, which was, do you agree with the layout? Now, you could say even I agree with the layout, but it failed to address a second primary question, which is, who would be able to use that layout? And I did say failing everything else we thought about consultations, but let's look at everything else. How could a document like this be legally binding? There's no accountability, no validity, and no audit. Surely one question like that, answerable by anybody, because you don't have to give your name, you don't have to give your address, you don't have to give your email address, and you don't have to give your telephone number, surely it carries no credibility. But let's have a little bit of intellectual honesty here. This proposal should never make a consultation. But when you've got TfL about to reward drivers' pioneer thinking by appointing electric-only ranks for those who've purchased an LEVC vehicle, then you know we've got big, big problems. Even this, I'm sure, has an illegal underpinning to it. Up until the early part of this year, the only vehicle that you could purchase and the only vehicle that you could drive as a taxi driver was run on diesel, and you purchased that on the premise that it had a 15-year lifespan. Maybe I'm too much of a realist to be into conspiracy theories. With TfL, who needs to be? But don't you think it's strange that Mercedes cleared its shop floor of diesel-chugging Vito vans before TfL implemented electric-only ranks and the boroughs brought in electric-only areas? One thing is for sure, TfL might be listening to big business, but they certainly have no regard for your business.
Radio, the station just for cabbies.
Good afternoon, lovely listeners. This is Sean Paul Day, and I'll be with you for the next hour or so. You are listening to London Taxi Radio. Cross the ocean. And we're going on a journey with Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall.
A snapshot in the family album. Daddy, what else did you leave for me?
remembering all the streets that you covered, so that when you eventually became a licensed badge holder, you were able to use these streets to ply your trade.
Just breaks in the wall.
Every driver who care about his job, every driver who care about his future and understand what is happening in under our industry should be there to defend it.
We are and have always been integral to the transport network in London. We are part of Transport for London. And what TfL are doing is systematically removing us from the very streets that we trained to ply our trade.
How long do you think that we have? Do you think that time is on our side? I don't think so. Until we win the legal case, the way things are going, we will be losing 30 to 40% of our road space, and we won't be able to do our job efficiently.
Thanks to Myrna and Paul for their contribution here.
Hi, as a driving member of the general public who's often driving through London, I'd like to leave a message of support for the black cab trade. Recently, I've noticed that the way TfL seems to be organising road closures, roadworks, general management seems to be bizarre and to completely uncoordinated, to say the least. I can't believe that anybody in charge of this is actually aware of the chaos and total meltdown that they're causing within London. Thanks.
As a frequent user of London Black Cabs, I wholly support the opposition to TfL's incomprehensible policy on London road closures, road repairs, bus lanes and general traffic management. Without the black cab, London doesn't work.
All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. All in all, you're just another brick in the wall.
We don't need no education.
Transport for London and any other official body are working desperately hard to restructure London's roads with one aim, so that traffic does not move. People who live, work and drive in London, all bodies, are structured to stop traffic moving.
Here, we want to use every bus lane that buses use. We are part of London transport system across London. We're the only wheelchair accessible trade, fully accessible, and TfL are taking away our right to drop people where they want to go.
T foul. They set our fare. They tell us what payment systems we have to take. They tell us what vehicles we have to drive. And you stick a hand out to stop us, exactly the same as you do with a bus. So if TfL regulate the buses and tell the buses where they can and cannot go, then we should be exactly the same. Where the buses go, we should go.
Yeah, as I say, a lot of people have been behind this. You know, most reasonable people will think that's a reasonable thing. If buses and taxis are publicly hired vehicles, they should use the same bit of road space. And remember, these bus companies, they're not owned by the public. They're owned by all sorts of people, like the German Railway and the French Electric Firm.
Now, we've earned this rite of passage through 3 or 4 or 5 years hard work on the knowledge, doing the knowledge of London. We've earned that right to go wherever buses go. This is all part of a two-tiered system. Take away our right, then you take away the two-tier system and we wind up with a one-tier system, which is what TfL want to do. This isn't the cause of what they're doing. They want a one-tier system. And we've got to stop that. And we're going to stop that by demonstrating as long as it takes. Where buses go, we want to go.
I was going to say years, but it won't be years. It could be months before all the streets are taken away. You know, so if you're not there on London Bridge, there won't be anywhere you can be. Applying for hire, running your one-man business. There won't be anywhere. It'll all be taken away from you. You know, and TfL, oh, I can't do that in 30 seconds.
If they don't, they may not have a job next week or the week after. They're being marginalised by TfL and by the local council. They're being forced out of their own job, out of their own trade, after working so hard to attain the standards set by the authority. The authority is now pulling the rug from under their feet.
You are an incorrigible delinquent at times. Behave yourself, man.
Broadcasting from a secret location. You're tuned to
London Taxi Radio.
Got you at breakfast late. That's the way. If this station isn't your cup of coffee,
then drink tea.
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 Drink tea.
Ooh. Drink tea.
Drink tea.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
100% music. 100% news. 100% information. Yeah. 100% guaranteed.
Loving this.
Thought you might say that.
That was the week that was, or rather, that was the 10 days that was. I don't think I've ever been on a demonstration or protest where I've felt such a sense of cohesion, where there was a real sense of coming together, a sense of belonging, that we should be doing this at this moment, even though if you'd asked me, we'd have been doing it a long time ago. But I grew up, didn't I, around an environment of protest. I think most of us did it in the 70s. But certainly the miners' protest was a case in point, wasn't it? And they was told each colliery would be safe, that it was the extremists that were the problem. But by 1984, it was too late, wasn't it? They were all extremists and nobody's job was safe. They turned colliery against colliery. And in some ways, that's happening in the cab trade. In some ways. But the protests felt like nothing I've ever been on before as far as these kind of protests go. There really was a sense of cohesion. A sense of unity. For the first time, a sense of unity. And this wasn't dissipating. It wasn't going to go away. It was growing in strength. It was growing in momentum. And that's what the authorities saw. That's what the authorities saw. Hence why they buckled. But nevertheless, we're in a situation, aren't we, which nothing's in writing, nothing's categoric. And we've had 6 years of an engagement policy where they've played lip service to the trade. And what has happened? The trade has been complicit, hasn't it? He's been complicit with it. He's come back and it's eased the policy because ultimately the trade has nothing, has got nothing. And likewise with this meeting, it wasn't minuted. There was notes taken, but it wasn't minuted. And I say, no meeting exists without being minuted from now on. And any of our representatives that don't support these meetings being minuted or don't vote for in favour of them being minuted, we shouldn't recognise. We shouldn't recognise them as representation because what have they got to hide? From the drivers. What have they got to hide? And that's the situation we find ourselves in, isn't it? But yes, we're in a situation where no minutes were taken. And I think what has to happen, and this is a catalyst, I think, this is a watershed moment in demonstrations. It is growing in interest. It is growing in momentum. It is growing in pace. And it is growing in size, in driver numbers, because we've taken our last hit, haven't we? We've taken our last hit. And I don't think there's anything more heinous that could be done to a cab driver than take away the infrastructure. Take away his infrastructure. If we don't protest about this, we won't protest about anything. But now, as far as I'm concerned, Mike Brown is anonymous, isn't he? And he needs to come out of the woodwork. He needs to come on a pedestal. And by calling him out last week, calling him out, it is saying to him, you don't let us have these roads, or if you consult on any other roads, then your head is on the block. It's you we're coming for. It's you that's got to make the announcement. It's you that has got to tell cab drivers they can't have it. The trade has been complicit. They've eased policy to the drivers, and we can't have it. We need to shift the agenda in negotiations away from them. They have the agenda. They have the control and they've got a good gauge on the cab trade, haven't they? Really, basically saying the cab trade can't do anything. Well, now it can, because we're calling the agenda, we're saying what's what, and you know what? Whatever happens, we're going to be in those areas anyway. Because I firmly believe, and I've reiterated this, even on most podcasts I've reiterated this, because I believe TfL are breaking a long-standing trade agreement. Breaking a long-standing trade agreement. And I think whether that's implicit or explicit, that is a case in point. And with that, they are engineering a situation to make us inefficient. And it is efficiency that determines future transport policy. So we can no longer sit back and wait for them to engineer a situation where we are inefficient and potentially their e-bus that is going to be launched and the Uber Pool Express bus that's going to be launched will be allowed in bus lanes because they conform to the criteria of a bus, which is merely more than 8 seats. Now, we have to have that exemption. We have to be put in bus lanes because otherwise we won't be able to compete. And they would have engineered, they would have orchestrated that situation. So we can't let that happen, can we? We absolutely can't let it happen. And so if it means taking it upon ourselves to defy the regulator because the regulator isn't regulating, then that's something we have to do. And come January, wind, rain, snow or hellfire, we will rain down our own type of hell. Believe me, we'll be there in January.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Only get into a minicab if the driver's smartly dressed.
If you've got his number plate, it's like an insurance policy.
Yeah. I only ever get a cab off the street if there's a group of us.
Safety in numbers.
This isn't the right way.
I talked to a friend all the way home.
Yeah, me too.
I find it reassuring.
News from the Column Inches in brief. The taxi and private hire industry in London is enduring systemic adverse impacts, says Carhu. Well, they wouldn't have vested interests, would they? Cabbies who got caught up in the O2 debacle might be entitled to compensation, only I wouldn't hold your breath.
Well, it's all been told before, but I'ma tell it again.
A local council is having a crackdown on drivers who cherry-pick jobs. It says it puts people in dangerous and vulnerable situations. You know I keep it rolling and I keep it rolling clean. My Taxi have launched their new going home option on the app. Well, one person's going home job is another person's job, isn't it? It just means it's been done on the cheap. And Tapper launches as the new black cab option in London. Only, not unlike the other corporate apps, it has outside investment. Therefore, it is shareholders who are the bottom line, not the drivers. That's it from the column inches, but in the second half of the show, Jim Thomas from TaxiLeaks will be bringing you the big hitters of the week, and he's a pretty big hit himself.
Right.
Harry sent this.
Mm-hmm.
Our uncle Harry, who's not our uncle,
yes.
If you know what I mean.
Yes.
Right, okay. So picture this. Paddy is on his last legs.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his deathbed. Okay, he knows the end is near. His nurse, his wife and his daughter and two sons are in the house when he's, you know, getting ready to slip away. So he asks for two independent witnesses to be present, and he wants this video recorded because he wants to record his last wishes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when everybody's ready, he begins to speak and he says, "My son Seamus, come on over. Seamus, I want you to take all the houses in Coultraw." Seamus goes, "Thanks, Dad." "My daughter, Geraldine, I want you to take the apartments in the Malone Road." "Thanks, Dad." "My son, Patrick Jr., I want you to take all the offices in the city centre. And Bridget, my dear wife, please take all the residential properties on the Upper Lisburn Road." And the nurse and the witnesses are going, "What? I didn't think Paddy had 2D. How is he so rich? What was the wealth?" And Paddy slips away, and the nurse says, "Mrs. O'Shaughnessy, my deepest condolences. Your husband must have been such a hard-working and wonderful man to have accumulated all this property." And the wife says, "Property? Property, nothing. The Chancellor had a window cleaning run."
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
So that was Random Item of the Week. It's quite good. It's been doing the rounds. It's another radio station and it's been doing the rounds. So I thought that'd be quite good fun. Take away from the seriousness of today's broadcast, because it is serious. Sammy Scoff, another one of the fantastic LCDC committee members, said that he'd been to a TOPS meeting and revealed TfL plan to make taxi ranks, or certain taxi ranks, electric cab only. I'm sure they'll be putting charge points on them as well. But nevertheless, we thought this, didn't we? And we were saying it a year or two back, saying what they'll do is they'll double up ranks with charge points. Shouldn't really be that way. The infrastructure should be there, shouldn't it? But nevertheless, they've said that's what they're going to do starting the early part of January, which is 2019. So it's not very far away, just a month away. And there should be problems with it, shouldn't there? Certainly should be issues. And I'm sure once that's embedded in the system, then you're going to get electric-only transit lanes, aren't you? Certainly the boroughs are thinking about that. And TfL, well, they'll be launching an e-bus shortly. I'm sure they'll want to launch it before Uber launches their Uber Pool Express bus, which effectively works in the same way. It responds to on-demand, even though they both will run on a GPS system, and that's part of the problem. I think if they want to eliminate taxis out of a bus lane, then they're putting or replacing us with something that is far more dangerous, because working on-demand and following a sat-nav, I mean, it's different for normal buses, isn't it? Because they follow static routes. Static lines, you know, they're very structured, very rigid, which is one of the reasons they want to scale them down somewhat. And they really do. I mean, a lot of the talk has been that they don't want Uber because it impacts on mass transport. Well, actually, that's exactly what they do want. I mean, they love us. They love the way we work. They just don't want us. That's the thing. They want to have far more control over the system, and they don't have control over us. And we're saying they shouldn't have control over us, because that's a monopolisation of their transport system. And we spoke about that earlier. But the big thing here is, now, up until early part of this year, you couldn't buy an electric cab. No one could buy an electric cab because they hadn't rolled one out. You were forced to buy a diesel-run cab. That's what you were forced to buy. And there's nothing you could have done about that. There is no way you could have met the conditions of fitness which they want to apply to certain ranks. No way. How can I contradict laws set in place by the policymaker, by our regulator in this case? 2 plus 2 can never equal 5, can it? So they willingly allowed you to buy a taxi last year. And I know there was a rush on the last of the veto taxis. And they cleared the shop floor, didn't they? There was a rush on for them. But they allowed you to pay an inflated price, which is something like £48,000, for a taxi which you would have bought under the premise that it had a 15-year lifespan. And yet they knew that in a year's time, they would be excluding you from certain ranks. And you sure as hell know there's going to be more boroughs implement electric-only areas. So I believe, and I've always said this, again, they are breaking a long-standing trade agreement. Breaking an agreement. Because, again, you could not have met their criteria. You couldn't have done it. With all the will in the world, you couldn't have met the criteria. So you did what they required of you, what they requested. And that was, your vehicle had to meet certain conditions of fitness, and it was the only vehicle that you was allowed to drive as a taxi driver. You couldn't have worked as a taxi driver any other way. So what was they saying? And what are they saying? Because if it isn't breaking a long-standing trade agreement, because implicitly, and it doesn't matter that it's not explicit, implicitly, they have had in place a system which they inherited from the Met. It has never changed. And so, effectively, when you did the knowledge to become a taxi driver, you did it knowing and being aware of all the benefits that come with it. So this is the situation we find ourselves. And it seems like nothing gets done about it. We've been hoodwinked. And there's nothing you can say about it. It beggars belief, because they would never do this to any other business, except they don't consider you and what you do as a business, do they? They see you as the commodity. They see everybody else who's on the peripheral, everybody else who's taken out of the business, siphoning off the trade as they have always done. They see that as business. They see them as the stakeholders. And you know what we think about that at London Taxi Radio? You, the driver, is the only stakeholder in your business. Everybody else might have business within business, but you are the stakeholder. But TfL have no regard for that. None whatsoever. There's parallels to be drawn with drivers getting their renewals back delayed, isn't there? It doesn't matter that they've taken the money from your account. They are getting them back delayed. And TfL will always say, yes, they do the renewals on time. It is the DBS check that's the problem. Well, I would say to them, it's their system, isn't it? The DBS check is part of TfL's system. You can't get a renewal without going through the DBS check. So absolutely it's down to them. And I would say compensation was definitely in order as far as that goes. As for the taxi, absolutely compensation is in order. They've decimated, they've flatlined your investment. Now there might be a shift over to usership as opposed to ownership, but nevertheless, as of now, their system prevails. And you entered their system, you did their system, you did what was required of you, you met every criteria, and now they're saying it's not good enough. Well, you can't fulfill your remit as a taxi driver, can you, if you can't access all areas? So absolutely, the next protest should focus on access all areas. They've just opened the door for that one, haven't they?
We apologise for the late running of the 1824 service. This will now depart at 1918 due to driver shortage.
Taxi! Taxi!
Down. For those times when taxis aren't readily available, it's nice to know that technology and software is here to make our lives run more smoothly. Taxi App UK does just that. Download the app to your smartphone from Google Play or the App Store, or log on to taxiapp.uk.com. And next time you need a taxi, just click the Taxi App UK icon. Book and pay with several payment options available, including cash, credit card, and through the app. Taxi App UK is free to download and use and available across the whole of London. Funded, and owned by London's black cab drivers. Taxi App UK, powered by technology, driven by knowledge.
You know what? I've got to calm right down, haven't I? I think the times I've spent talking on this podcast, and I recognise that it's a shorter one than usual, I think I've just blown my head off if I go any more high octave. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, just a couple of little updates. First off, we've got Cabbies Do Kilo. Hey, they're driving around in liveried cabs and they look fantastic. So if you see them out and about on the road, give them a toot and maybe get in touch with a contact on the cab to donate. It's for a brilliant cause. It's for the Taxi Charity for Military Veterans. And it doesn't get enough exposure anyway, but I've got to say this, they're giving it loads and representing the cab trade excellently. If you haven't yet donated to UTAG, you must. It's the big one, isn't it? And their mission, to judicially review the decision by Westminster magistrates to grant a licence to Uber on the basis of a conflict of interest and flawed reasoning. They go on to say, to hold Transport for London to account under multiple causes of action, including its failure to regulate the statutory regime. And finally, to hold Uber to account under multiple causes of action, including economic torts and the interference of the trade's exclusive right to ply for hire. And finally, Chris Johnson's tribunal case against My Taxi has had a boost of late. All that he needs is £2,800 to make the grade. Not bad for a sole crusader that isn't backed by any one of our orgs. So we should be backed by drivers, because it is us drivers that it's set up to protect.
Headlines from TaxiLeaks News Desk. Last week saw the O2 network go down, leaving many cab drivers unable to clear credit card payments. TfL was asked for a statement and they said, under no circumstances should drivers use an alternative non-fixed card payment device. When pressed further, they went on to say that you should advise customers at the start of the journey that you had no credit card clearing facilities and that you could only take cash until the network was back up again. The breaking news of the week, Uber have finally announced they will be floating the company and have filed papers to go public in 2019. Surprise, surprise. On Monday, the trade stood stunned as news emerged from the TOPS meeting that TfL intended to implement the first e-taxi-only rank early in 2019. It is feared that TfL will now start rolling out e-taxi-only bus lanes. Also this week, we were told that Dara Khosrowshahi met with Chris Grayling of the DfT, and he said that he was willing to accept the congestion charge but refused the cap on minicab numbers. He also told Grayling that the new Uberpool Express minibuses will be allowed to use bus lane. It looks like where buses go, Uber will be able to go, but not taxis. With our ability to ply for hire being taken away from us street by street, and our largest org unwilling to demonstrate or protest in any form, the Independent Taxi Alliance have said, it's time to take to the streets to fight or die. It's time to reclaim our right to ply for hire on London streets. Anywhere the buses go, we should be able to go. They said they intend to make a statement on this issue early in the new year.
Now I'm here at Camley Street with Lawrence, who's had trouble tonight round with the Listen Green mob. Can you just run through the story with us, where you picked them up and where you dropped
them? I picked them up in Rupert Street, and they asked to go to Edgware Road. And when I got to Edgware Road, they said, do you know St Anne's Hospital, St Mary's Hospital? I said, yeah, that's Paddington. So I headed towards St Mary's Hospital, and when I got to St Mary's Hospital, they said to me, turn right here, and I ended up in Norfolk Square. And they said, keep going, we'll tell you when to stop. And on the bend, they said, we'll all get out of here. And then one of them come over the window and said, how much it is? I said, 22. And one, the other one's going, are you paying or what? And then two of them standing there, and the other one said, you've got £2. And the other they called the other ones on the other side and said, who's paying for this? And one banged on the window on the other side. So I opened the window, and all of a sudden he reached in, opened my door, and nicked the bag I had in the cab, you know.
He opened the driver's door itself?
Yeah, put his hand inside. Yeah. Must have known where the latch was, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, they ripped the bag. Luckily, I've had a bag nicked before, so there wasn't really stuff in there that was any importance, you know what I mean?
You carry a decoy bag now?
Well, I've always had a bag in there. I have sweets in here and might have had a drink, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had hand wash stuff. I mean, I've got to go and buy some more hand wash stuff and an umbrella. And they quickly whipped it and run off. And I lost me 22 quid as well.
Yeah, well, it just shows you, see, everyone thinks it's only happening around Lisson Grove. It's not. It's happening all over Paddington, Knightsbridge.
Yeah, well, the last one, that's about the second one months ago. I broke down in Covent Garden, like, to wait about 7 hours for the A8 to come out. And because it was a hot night and day, wasn't it? I was waiting for the trucks, and I went out the back to get me spare tyre ready, and then someone came up to me. It's about 5-6 in the morning. I said, where's Covent Garden? I said, it's up there. And I went to get something out of my bag and it was gone. So they've obviously reached in and nicked it. Obviously, I think that was just opportunist, I think. Not like this bob, apparently, that's been going around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as I say, I don't really have much in the bag. I never have anything that's important. You know what I mean? Like licences and all that. I never have it in the bag. So I'm never sure what to put in next. It's about the
Well, I mean, you've been lucky because drivers have been pulled out the cab.
Some have been hospitalised,
and a lot of drivers have lost their bill, their driver's licence, all stuff like that. So we now know, we've been told by the police to keep all that stuff separate.
Yeah.
So this is what we've got to do. Anyway, thanks for telling us.
Yeah, that's
Lawrence.
All right. That's all right.
This is Jim Thomas for London Taxi Radio signing off.
Just keep up the good work and we're going to beat them.
Yeah, I think the turnout every day has been exceptional, and if we can do this next week at Bank Junction, I think you know, we've got to have a result one way or the other. We've got to have a result.
Any message for Transport for London?
Well,
sort yourselves out.
Just stop victimising the cab trade. We didn't deserve this, and you know, it's just not just, it's not right what you're doing.
Well, if you was any other company, how you were running things, you would have been shut down, you would have been sacked. They're running things at a loss. How can you do it? Sadiq Khan, go out to a party and have a selfie with someone. That's all he'd do.
I know, and we have to suffer.
Yeah, exactly.
Working class people always have to suffer in the end. Yeah. So let's fight for this rightfully ours.
That's exactly it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
Here I am with Mick on the demo. Mick, hello.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Mick, I know that you are hardcore and you are here every day. Any message for the drivers?
Just keep doing it. If we let them get away with this, eventually it's just going to be a waste of time. We're just going to have to keep doing what we're doing. You know, none of us want to inconvenience everybody, but without it, without unity, we're just going to go down a pan.
Any message for Transport for London?
Have a rethink, because this isn't going to stop until you do.
Thank you. I'm here with Mick Bailey from RMT. Hi, Mick.
Good evening, Myrna. How are you?
Not bad, thank you.
I'm just here. Obviously, we're supporting the demonstrations. We're here tonight. We passed a motion at our branch meeting last night, publicly supporting the demonstration. I'm pleased to see that the police are letting us stay here tonight until 7 o'clock. I kind of guess that might have something to do with the fact that when we moved off last night, it caused more chaos. So I think we're better contained as far as the police is concerned. But we've got to carry on. We've got to try. One of the things I've been talking about here tonight with drivers, we've got to try and stop these drivers that are working. And I don't mean stop them with a baseball bat, but I mean stop them and have a conversation with them and try and convince them as to why they should be joining the demonstration and why they should be trying to stand up for their job and their trade, because when it's gone, it's gone.
Thank you, Mick. Here I am at the demo with the young Danny, the guy that's done the video on the Safe Taxi, and it's got absolutely fantastic response. Danny, hello, how are you?
I'm good, Mina. How are you? I'm good.
Oh, very good, thank you. It's good to see you at the demo. So what's your message for our fellow drivers?
Yeah, just to stick together, guys, you know, unity. It feels great for me to be part of this. I feel as if this is the right thing to do, sticking together. And sending the message out to TfL of how it should be.
Absolutely, because I really do believe if we all stick together, and if it's because I think now it's a battle of the wills, who is going to last longer. And I think if we last long enough, and if we just basically don't give in, I think we should get results.
I think that is it. As you just said, the battle of the wills. You know, it is who's going to fold first, and there's no point us coming out and doing these demos if it's going to be us who folds first, because at the end of the day they will be in the end wasted hours. You know,
absolutely,
they will be wasted hours of demo time. You know, we could have all been out working now. There's no point just doing it and allowing TfL to walk over us.
Absolutely. So let's stick together and let's do it.
Yeah, let's stick together, guys. You know, there's nothing like being together on this. We need everyone being involved and everyone getting to the demos.
Absolutely. And you know what I like when you said for the short-term loss, we can gain so much, because as we all know, on the daily basis, we're losing our road space.
Yeah, I mean, again, with the demos, you know, these are 3 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours, you know, depending on how much time you can commit during the week is up to you. But how much is that time really worth to you in terms of going forward? You know, if you want longevity in this job, we have to do these demos. And there's no point just us, the minority of us doing it. It has to be the vast majority.
Absolutely. Ain't no stopping us now. Thank you, Danny.
That's all right.
But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together. We're polishing up our act.
None of us did this to buy into the political turmoil or be a political football. We did the knowledge to go out, work hard, go home and feed our families. Now all this is up and above anything we bought into. So what I say, go home, go to work, have a great Christmas. And in January, we'll be in Tottenham Court Road because they are next. Yeah! Well done.
Merry Christmas.
Well, what can I say, ladies and gents, whoever's watching this, talk about a rousing speech. Sean Paul Day being lifted high now, and everybody here is really, really pleased about the fact that you know, it's exactly that. Over your shoulder there, who says protests don't work? And I was actually about to say that, but you stole my thunder, but that's fine.
Sorry.
No, not at all.
Stand in your way.
we've congregated here today because licensed taxi drivers, which are the safest transport option in the capital, are being restricted by certain areas. So we're calling upon TfL to fulfil the mayor's policies and allow taxis into all areas. We're saying where buses go, taxis go. So it has nothing to do with safety. They coined the phrase bank on safety. We're saying that's disingenuous. It's based on an untruth, and to rescind on it and allow taxis here in the junction.
London Taxi Radio, bringing a tingle to your ears.
It really is Christmas time, isn't it? Do you know what? I can't believe how quick time goes by. When you stop and think, it really is shocking. It shocks you. I mean, time goes by just so quick. I mean, even, I know they say time flies when you're having fun, but even when you're not having fun, it goes by quick. I mean, I've been in trauma all year and it's just flown by. But, I can see the vision of what you mean. It is that time of year and we need to get our heads down, don't we? Because probably next week it'll die off a little bit, so we need to make our money this week, and we probably won't be doing a live show next week because it is so close to Christmas and I know a lot of you want to get away, but we still will be doing a show. So if you want to get involved, of course get involved. If you just want to get hold of us for whatever reason, you can get in touch via the website, that's londontaxiradio.co.uk, or through the Facebook page, London Taxi Radio. You can get all the radio on Twitter, DM us at London Taxi Radio, or my personal account at Sean Paul Day. You can email us even, londontaxiradio@gmail.com. So this is it, we're getting very close to Christmas. Now stay tuned, because we've still got Voices of the Trade coming up, but if we don't touch base till next week, I hope to see you out there on the mean streets. Be safe, be lucky. This is Sean Paul Day, and you are listening to London Taxi Radio. Christmas time with you. And of course, this is our very own Joe and John. Christmas just ain't Christmas without you.